Chapter 3. The Story of the Bald-Headed Man.
We arrived at the Lyceum Theatre. There were already a lot of people outside. We got out of the cab and a small man came up to us.
Are you with Miss Morstan?
He asked us.
I'm Miss Morstan, and these two gentlemen are my friends,
she said.
Can you promise that neither of your friends is a policeman?
He asked. Miss Morstan promised. The man took us to a cab. We climbed inside, and the man drove the cab. We moved away quickly through the streets. At first, I knew where we were going, but I was soon lost. Holmes, of course, knew exactly where we were.
Priory Road, Robert Street, Cold Harbour Lane. Not very nice areas,
he said. Finally, the cab stopped outside a house in a row of other houses. They all looked empty. We knocked at the door, and it was opened by an Indian servant.
He is waiting for you, he said.
We heard another voice from a room further inside.
Bring them in,
it said.
Bring them straight in.
The servant took us to a door and opened it. In the room was a small man with a bald head. He had a hanging lower lip, which showed a line of irregular yellow teeth. Although he was bald, he did not look old. He was, in fact, 30 years old.
Come in, come in,
he said. He seemed nervous. The room was very different to the rest of the house and the area. It was brightly coloured and luxurious, in an oriental style.
My name is Thaddeus Sholto,
the man said.
You are Miss Morstan, and these gentlemen?
Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson.
So, to begin,
he said,
your father, Miss Morstan, is dead.
She went white, but then said,
I had hoped he was still alive, but I knew in my heart that he wasn't.
Thaddeus Sholto continued,
I can tell you everything. And I can also give you justice. Whatever my brother Bartholomew says, we'll have to go to Norwood to see him, but he's very angry with me for doing what I think is right. He can be a terrible person when he's angry.
Let's go as soon as possible, then. It's already late, I said.
First of all, I must tell you what I know,
he said.
My father was Major John Sholto. He retired 11 years ago. And came to live at Pondicherry House in Norwood. He was a rich man, and brought Indian servants with him, and lived in luxury. My twin brother Bartholomew and I were the only children. I remember when Captain Morstan disappeared. We talked about it often with my father. We never suspected that he knew exactly what happened to Captain Morstan. We did know that our father was in some sort of danger, though. He did not go out alone. And he was very scared of men with wooden legs. Once, he even fired his gun at a man with a wooden leg, who was just a salesman trying to sell something. We had to pay him a lot of money to keep the matter quiet. In 1882, he received a letter from India, which was a great shock to him. He never told us what it said, but from that day he became ill, until the doctor told us he was close to death. He wanted to tell us something before he died. When we went in to see him, he looked terrible. He told us to lock the door and come to either side of the bed. This is what he said. I have treated Morstan's daughter terribly. I have been a greedy man. At least half of the treasure belongs to her. See that string of pearls there? That is part of the treasure. I was going to send it to her. You, my sons, I want you to make sure that she gets half of the Agra treasure. But don't send anything until I am dead. I'll tell you how Morstan died, he continued. For many years, he had a weak heart, but only I knew about it. When we were in India, by luck, he and I found a large amount of valuable treasure. I brought it over to England. When Morstan arrived in London, he came to claim his share. We argued about how to divide the treasure between us. We were shouting at each other, and he was very angry. Suddenly, he put his hand to his side. His face changed colour, and he fell backwards, hitting his head on the treasure chest. He was dead. I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to call the police, because it looked like I had killed him, and I didn't want other people to know about the treasure. I was thinking about it when my servant came to the door. "Don't worry, sir," he said. "I won't tell anyone that you killed him. We'll hide the body, and nobody will know anything." I made a decision. If my own servant thought that I killed him, then the police were certainly not going to believe me. So we hid Morstan's body and the treasure. It is only right that Morstan's daughter gets her share. Come closer, and I'll tell you where it is. The treasure is hidden in... At this moment, his face changed. He looked scared, and he began to shout, "Keep him out! Keep him out!" We looked around at the window behind us where he was staring. There was a face looking in from the darkness. It was a bearded face with wild, cruel eyes and an evil expression. We rushed to the window, but there was no one there. When we returned to our father, his heart had stopped beating. We searched the garden that night, but all we found was a single footprint below the window. We thought we had imagined it, but the next day the window of my father's room was found open. Someone had searched his room, and on his chest was a note with the words, "The Sign of the Four," written on it. We never knew who it was or what it meant. Nothing was stolen.
He stopped speaking for a moment. Miss Morstan looked white, and she drank the glass of water I gave her. Sherlock Holmes leaned back in his chair. Thaddeus continued his story.
My brother and I wanted to find the treasure that our father told us about. We searched everywhere, digging in the garden, looking in every part of the house. But we didn't find it. We knew by the quality of the pearls that the treasure was worth a lot of money. My brother is very like my father. He is also very greedy, and he didn't want to send the pearls to Miss Morstan. But finally, I persuaded him to send a pearl once a year to Miss Morstan, so that she had something of value.
It was very kind of you,
said Miss Morstan.
We had to make sure justice was done,
said Thaddeus.
At least, that's what I thought. Bartholomew didn't agree. That's why I moved out of Pondicherry House.
So why are we here now?
Asked Holmes.
Yesterday, I found out that the treasure has been discovered. I contacted Miss Morstan, and now we must go to Norwood and claim our share of it. I told Bartholomew what I wanted to do, so he'll be expecting us, even if he doesn't want to see us.
You've done well, sir,
said Holmes.
Let's go.